This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 16. We'll be reading the whole chapter, so verse 1 to 27, and you'll find this on page 1143 in the church Bibles. So it's Romans chapter 16, page 1143. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant in the church in Cenchreae. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Jesus Christ. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my friend Epaphroditus, who was the first to convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampilatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in the Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Heronian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julius, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you. But I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, who write down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church have here enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, sends you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as Rob mentioned, we're talking about one of our values, about being every member led. We're talking about what it looks like to be involved in church life. And when we talk about being involved in something, that can often work itself out in lots of different ways, on lots of different levels. We might choose to only be involved in something when things are going well, often like supporting the England men's football team, it seems like, or we can be involved in something like being a member of something. And as being members of something, we can take an interest in it or an active involvement in it. And yet, even then, when we talk about being a member of something, even then, it can sometimes still be very limited. So if I'm a member of a gym or something like that, it can so often be on my terms. I go when I want to, and quite literally when I want to, with the gym chain Anytime Fitness. It's open 24/7, so I can go whenever I want to. And I do what I want, and I put my earphones in, and I just go into my happy place, and I ignore the world around me. I'm not involved in the upkeep or the cleaning or the managing of it. Or sometimes we have an involvement which is much further. It's almost a fully fledged membership of it, as if we're partners of it. And when I'm a partner, then I'm much more involved in the running behind the scenes of how it's going, of how people are doing. I'm fully invested. And when it comes to the church, well, the Bible says that being part of the church, to be involved in the church, it's like being a fully invested member. It's being partners in the church. And so as we think about our latest value to be an every member-led church, that is that we want to see St. Mary's as any person who calls themselves a Christian and calls St. Mary's their home church, that there is a place for you here. And that that you have a part to play in the life of St. Mary's. There is a place and a part. What then does that look like? Well, we're going to have a look in these last few verses in the letter of Romans. A letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome around AD 57. And we're jumping right to the end of the letter, chapter 16. And as we get to the final chapter, similarly, as Rob mentioned, if you were with us in our previous series in 1 Corinthians, when we got to the final chapter of 1 Corinthians, these final chapters of Paul's letters can often be looked at or thought about like the closing credits of a film. And maybe no more so than here. Literally just a list of names of who's involved. And yet, as we pause this week to have a look at these names, here we get an insight into the church in Rome. Here we see Paul's love for people. And not just his love for people, but his need for people. Here we see God's place and God's part for his people in the gospel. Three things we're going to see as we work our way through this passage. You'll be very impressed that I've managed to use gospel in each of the three and a P. Gospel partnership, gospel protection, and gospel priorities as we look at this. We'll spend most of our time in that first point, gospel partnership, so don't panic as we get to the end and it feels like lunch should be on the table. We'll be speeding through the second two points. But firstly, gospel partnership, verses 1 to 16. In these 16 verses, we have 27 names mentioned, and then a further 8 names in verses 21 to 24. 35 names of people that Paul wants to highlight in his closing remarks in this letter. Different people that Paul knows. Different people that are involved either in the church in Rome or in Paul's own ministry. Different people who in Paul's eyes are vital for the life of the church. Let's have a look and try and make sense of some of these names and what and who these people are. First, notice in these list of names, notice the diversity. The diversity. And we see diversity first in rank. There's a diversity in rank. Verses 8 and 9, we have Ampliatus and Urbanus. These are common first century names for slaves, and other letters in the New Testament tell us that there were slaves in the church. And yet other names that are mentioned here are much higher up the social scale, some very high up. At the end of verse 10, Aristobulus, people and commentators and historians believe that this was the grandson of Herod the Great, close friend of Claudius the Empire. And verse 11, Narcissus was thought to be a person with much power and much influence. Now, we don't know if these two individuals became Christians themselves, but Paul says there are those in their extended households who have, who are a part of the church. And in verses 21 to 23, we have the names of those who were Paul. Verse 23, Paul mentions Erastus, who is the city's director of public works. Here is someone who is in an influential position, an influential figure. There's a diversity in rank in the church. But not just rank, there's also a diversity in race. You see, in Bible times, the Jew and Gentile division was the great division. And there was no eating done together, no business done together. And sadly, sometimes these divisions worked itself out in the church. Paul speaks about them in a number of his letters. And here in Rome, these divisions may well have been heightened even further. You see, the church in Rome probably started out as a Jewish church, which over time, Gentile people became believers and joined the church. But then in AD 49, the Emperor Claudius expelled all the Jews from the city of Rome. And so they would have left the city and so therefore left the church. It's mentioned in Acts 18, verse 2. And so during this time, with the Jews expelled, the church would have been essentially Gentile. In AD 54, Claudius died, and so the Jews were allowed back into the city. And as they returned into the city, would have returned to their churches. And you can imagine the tensions that may have arisen. And yet in this list of names, Paul mentions both Jew and Gentile. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They're Jews, mentioned in chapter 18 as some of the Jews who got expelled from the city. Paul met them in Corinth. They've become important to him. Verse 7, greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives. Verse 11, greet Herodian, my relative, relatives of Paul, fellow Jews. And yet, whilst most of the other names are Gentiles, there's a great diversity in race as well. And then we see further diversity in gender. Here, Paul names 9 women explicitly. It's striking this in the culture of the time. Paul, who amongst Jews would have been seen as a kind of the equivalent of a Jewish rabbi, who would have had to keep their distance from women. And yet, Paul obviously knew women well. In the synagogue, women were kept separate from men, had to remain silent. And yet we see in the Gospels, Jesus treated women with great respect. And Paul continued this. Verse 12, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Or verse 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. That word servant, or as the footnote says, it could be deaconess. It highlights that this person, Phoebe, may well have had a formal role in the ministry of the church. And it seems from what Paul says in verse 2 that Paul has tasked Phoebe with taking the letter. Here, Phoebe has the responsibility of traveling with the letter and taking it to the church in Rome. Or verse 3, greets Priscilla and Aquila, a married couple mentioned 7 times in the New Testament. We read in Acts chapter 18 that this couple were responsible for helping the great Apollos, who we met in 1 Corinthians, with learning and getting to know and growing in the gospel. Here in Rome, verse 5, they host a church in their home. Or verse 7, Andronicus and Junius, or Junior, a woman likely married to Andronicus. Here are a special couple. See how Paul describes them? Outstanding amongst the apostles. It's not thought that these two were one of the chosen apostles by Christ, sent by Christ. But more, this might be that they were considered outstanding by the apostles of Christ. Or it might be apostles in a more general sense, not so much the 12 set apart by Christ, but in a general sense, a messenger that's sent out by the church, as it's also used in the New Testament. And yet what is not in doubt is this lady, Junior, has played a vital role in the ongoing ministry and mission of the church. We see it also in verse 6, greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa and Persis working hard in the Lord. There are women here who are active and influential in the ongoing ministry in the church and Paul's mission work across the Mediterranean. If you were with us last month in Equip, we looked more detailed at this, the roles of men and women in the church, to see that the Bible is very clear that men and women are equal in the Lord, and yet their roles work out differently, yet all with a part to play in the life of the church. Paul wants to show that there is great diversity within the church. Whatever your background might be, whatever your gender, whether you have loads of qualifications or none at all, whether you have whatever job you might have or whether you don't have a job, regardless of whether you're married or not, have children or not, disabled or not, neurodiverse or not, under 18 or over 80, in the prime of your life or feel totally past the prime of your life, struggling to walk on your own or able to leap around park run in under 20 minutes straight, whether you say grass or whether you say grass, whether you say scone or whether you say scone, every single person has a place in God's church. Believe it or not, there's other sport being played in the world at the moment other than football. You might be following Wimbledon and the women's final yesterday. As we were watching today at Wimbledon and the live coverage yesterday, they showed a slot of a young man called Michael, 18 years old, who was diagnosed with a brain tumour at 6 months, which has left him partially sighted. And this bit of Wimbledon showed how he has a role. He works for Wimbledon in front of house, engaging with members of the public, showing them and directing them to where they're meant to be. Wimbledon wanting to say, everyone is welcome here. Anyone can have a part to play. Paul wants to say in the church, everyone is welcome. Everyone has a place in the church. The New Testament uses lots of pictures or metaphors when describing the church. A body, a flock, a building, a bride. And another one that's used a lot is family. And it was pointed out to me this week that this picture of a family isn't actually a metaphor, because it's a reality. The Bible says we're not like a family. We are a family. You see, we all have a place. And because we all have a place in this family, we all have a part to play in the family. I think I've used the story a few months ago of Paddington Bear in the great film as he discovers his place in the Brown family, and the moment he realizes that he's part of that family. We enjoy watching the TV series in our home. There's one brilliant episode where, as part of the Brown family, Paddington really, really wants to help out with the everyday chores. And as he is doing this rather clumsily, Mr. Brown points out, oh, no, don't worry about that. We've all got our chores list. And as Mrs. Brown says, yes, everyone in the family has a chores list, Paddington gets really excited and he says, oh, I can't wait to read my chores list. And the dad says, Mr. Brown says, oh, don't be silly, Paddington. You don't need to do the family chores. To which Paddington replies, oh, I see. I thought I was part of the family. And it's a heart-wrenching moment, isn't it, in Paddington Bear. I thought it might make Lily cry, made me cry instead. But Paddington gets it. If I have a place in the family, I have a part to play in the family. And so Paul shows us that we don't just have diverse partnership, a diversity of partnership, but there is also deep partnership. Notice the warmth that Paul speaks of these people. Verse 5, my dear friend Epaenetus. Verse 8 and 9, Ampliatus, who I love in the Lord, Urbanus, and my dear friend Stachys. Paul loves these people, and he's prepared to say so. There is a depth to these relationships. And it's a depth in love, but it's also a depth in dependence. We as Brits don't often tell people how much we love them. We as Brits probably tell people less so how much we need them. And yet, here is Paul, the great apostle, with astonishing gifts and abilities, saying, I need you. Verse 2, receive Phoebe in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, verse 3, they risked their lives for me, and so I and the churches are grateful to them. Verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me. Paul is grateful for being mothered. There's a mutual dependence going on. You see, the gospel is a great challenge to our Western individualism, a Western individualism that looks out for number one. And sadly, this can sometimes creep into the church, that I can wander in here and think, what will I get out of this? And so Paul challenges us and says, we need to think we and not me. You see, church is not a meeting that I just go to. It's a family that I belong to. And so we need each other. We weren't designed to live in isolation. It's why solitary confinement is such a punishment. We need to be building closer relationships with one another, and we long for that here, and which can be harder in a church that is larger. And so we want to encourage people to get to know one another. It's why we think small groups are vital, so we can get to know people more personally, build relationships with one another, encourage and support one another. It's why we think picnics aren't just a kind of nice thing to do when the sun will finally one day appear, but something that we think is vital for us to be getting to know one another and building friendships and relationships. We want to be a church that is every member led, one where there is real gospel partnership, where everyone has a place, and so everyone has a part to play. But not just gospel partnership, we want gospel protection. Because you see, as we're every member led, it means every person has a role in protecting the gospel. Of course, there'll be those who are set apart with the time and the resources and the opportunity to study more. And yet, do you notice how this is a letter to the whole church? Notice Paul's language at the start of verse 17. I urge you, brothers, the original word is inclusive of all. It's like saying guys to everyone, brothers and sisters. This is for all of us, to watch out, be on your guard to those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Paul warns to protect the gospel from any contrary teaching to what they've heard. That might be what's known as gospel minus, kind of taking parts away from the gospel. You really want to believe that Jesus really rose from the dead? Well, you don't have to do that part, surely. Or gospel plus, adding to the gospel. Yeah, sure, Jesus is all right, but make sure you're doing that as well. Sadly, as Duncan prayed, we're seeing this at the moment in the wider church. As we look to change the gospel, well, not we, as the wider church seeks to change the gospel, Paul says, keep to the teaching you have been taught. Be word-shaped in all that you do. And so be on the lookout for those who make it all about them, verse 18, those who aren't serving Jesus Christ. Paul calls us, be Christ-centered. We all have a part to play. And so as we sit here and we listen, that's why Rob and I and others will encourage you, keep your Bibles open. Let's have a look at what God is saying, not what I am saying. Or whether we meet on Wednesdays to have a look at God's word or any other group where God's word is open, we want to be people who are all involved in protecting the gospel, in ensuring that what God is saying is happening here at St. Mary's. Gospel partnership, gospel protection, and finally, gospel priorities. Gospel priorities. These final verses in Romans, Paul actually echoes some of what he says back in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, to the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul says it's from God, this revelation hidden for ages, but now being revealed by God. Look, the Christian message wasn't invented by Paul or by any other individual in the past or present. It's from God. And it's all about Jesus Christ, the proclamation of Jesus Christ. It's about his perfect life, his death in our place, his rising to life again, his future coming. We hold to that. And it's for everyone, end of verse 26, so that all nations might believe and obey him. It's for every single person. That includes you, if you are here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. This gospel message is for all people. As an every member-led church, here is the gospel we are to prioritize. Here is the gospel we're to hold to. Here is the gospel we all have a part to play in sharing with one another here, looking to encourage and to build one another up so that we may be established, as Paul says in verse 25. And here is the gospel that we all have a part to play in sharing with those around us. What a beautiful picture of the church that Jesus is building. One of gospel partnership, where every person has a place at St. Mary's, where every person has a part to play at St. Mary's, where we look to prioritize and to protect the gospel. And so through loving one another, through depending on one another, we grow together so that we might be a family where people look in and go, God, that is a family I'd love to be a part of. And where we have the privilege of taking that good news of the gospel and sharing with other people to be able to say, you can be a part of it. Let me tell you how. And so as Paul finishes his letter in Romans, as we began by singing this morning, to God be the glory. Why don't we pause for a moment and I'll pray for us. Father God, thank you for your church. Thank you that we see here in Romans 16 the great diversity in the church in Rome, and yet the great dependency on one another and love for one another. Father, help us here at St. Mary's to be a church that is every member led, where every single person knows that they have a place here And so every single person knows that they have a part to play here. Help us to work out what that looks like for each one of us as we look to be your church here in Basingstoke. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.